Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Welcome to you all who gather with us in person or online this morning for Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection and life of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be able to be or offer the option to be present in our sanctuary this Easter. I think about last Easter as we used images of tulips from previous Easter Sundays, but this year we get to enjoy the beauty of tulips this year, to smell them and to remind us of life that comes out of death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So welcome to all again and to those who join us online as well. We begin our worship service with a few announcements, and I'm going to begin by sharing some of those with you. Just a reminder that our preschool invites you to like their new Facebook page and share their posts with the wider community. You can find their page by searching on Facebook for Lewistown Presbyterian Preschool. Also, enrollment for the 2021-22 school year is currently underway. So if you know of any preschool-aged children whose parents are looking for a preschool program for them, please direct them to our church, and we will make sure that they receive an application and information. If you ordered an Easter dinner today provided by our fellowship committee, you can pick that up after worship. And if you requested your meal to be delivered, those will be delivered as soon as possible following worship. Again, we give a thank you to the fellowship committee and their friends in preparing the meals, and to our deacons for providing delivery. Also, if you ordered tulips for Easter, you can take your tulips at the end of worship this morning. We give thanks to John Gregory for ordering the tulips. And I believe with help from Scott, they moved the cross that was over here and added the tulips here, which I know for so many of you, that is a beloved Easter tradition here in the church. The Mission and Evangelism Committee invites you to help fill the blessing box located on 3rd Street outside our church. And in this month's theme is April showers. We give thanks to Shelley for coming up with a creative theme. And showers means if you would be so kind to donate some hygiene items for the shower. So think about shampoo, conditioner, body wash, or soap. There's a basket in the narthex where you can place your donations. And if you have any questions, you can contact Shelley. She'd be happy to help you. Another beloved Easter tradition that I understand in this church is to finish our worship service with the Hallelujah Chorus. So we will remain standing after the benediction and sing this song. There are copies of the Hallelujah Chorus printed at the entrances to the sanctuary, or the words will be placed on the screen. And also, one other announcement, there are kids' activity bags also at both entrances to the sanctuary, and we want to make sure the kiddos know that you can take those bags home with you. So enjoy using those throughout the service, and then enjoy using them at home. Well, my friends, let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship the resurrected Lord this holy day.
Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus rising from the dead assures us that we too have been given new life. Let us repent of our sin before God and one another, certain of God's mercy. Please join with me in reading the prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent confession. All-knowing and all-powerful God, we confess that even on this most holy day, we are unable to believe in the victory over death shown to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We confess our utter dependence on you, not only for life, but also for faith, hope, and love. Without your astonishing appearance to our ancestors and your stunning presence throughout the ages, we would be lost. Forgive us and transform us, that in every way our work and prayer will make whole what is broken and give peace on earth. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God and the witness of our ancestors, the good news of Jesus' resurrection is our rock and our salvation. We shall not die, but live.
The rejected cornerstone has become our strength and our song.
In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. At this time, I would invite the children to come forward for our children's chat. You can join me right up front here. Good. Good morning, Evie. You find a spot? Yeah. Hi there. Good morning. You can sit. You want to sit on the step? That would be fine. It's good to see you all here. What a beautiful day. Well, I have a question to ask you. All around us in this room, there are signs of life. Do you know what some of those signs might be? Can you see examples of life? Yeah, Evie, where do you see it? Right here, that's right. There's a butterfly. Can everyone see that? Yes. Yes. Yes, so you can see that butterfly right in there. And that butterfly, before it became a butterfly,
it was a caterpillar,
that's right. Yes. First it was an egg that turned into a caterpillar and then turned into a cocoon, or they call it a pupa. You are also very smart. And then what happens? A butterfly came. So sometimes when people see the cocoon, they look at it and they think, there's no life in there. They think that it's just a dead shell. But then the butterfly comes out and is alive. So Evie found our butterfly. Everyone see that? Mm-hmm. What other examples of life are around us? Abby? The flowers. We have beautiful tulips in here. Whoop, you okay, Killian? Yeah, Killian, look at this. A lot of times before flowers grow to look as beautiful as these tulips, they are bulbs. When you look at these bulbs, does it look like they have much life? No, look kind of dead, yeah? But when you plant them in soil and you take care of them by watering them, they grow. Yes, that's right, Zach. They grow into beautiful flowers. Some of you grew beautiful flowers if you got your Lenten bag. Yes. Well, yes, and we've got examples of butterflies here that some of you and people in the church colored. Beautiful butterfly. Yes. Can you show that to everyone, Killian? Can you turn it around and show them? Show them what colors are on that butterfly. Does everyone see purple?
Yes.
Yes. What other colors?
Orange.
Uh-huh. Just like, yes, just like the colors of our tulips. Well, there are. Those are my favorite colors, are the purple ones. Well, a few days ago, we remembered that Jesus died. And when Jesus dies, when we die, life leaves us. And so when Jesus died, they put him in a tomb that was made out of stone. Do you see that little doorway? Mm-hmm. Well, today in our scripture reading, there are people, his friends, who went to that tomb so that they could take care of his body. And he was not there in the tomb. He was gone. And they were scared because his body should have been in the tomb. But what happened is that Jesus lived again. He was alive. And Jesus revealed himself in time to them, person by person. And one of the first people that he revealed himself to was Mary. And today we're going to hear more about how Mary reacts to her friend Jesus dying and then finding out that he's alive again. So the world around us would tell us that there's nothing to celebrate today other than some Easter bunnies and maybe celebrating that we get lots of chocolate and things like that. But today we celebrate, yes, that Jesus Christ is alive, that death could not keep Jesus in the tomb. And just like, yes, they're beautiful butterflies, aren't they, Killian? Just like we might think that some things are dead, like when the butterfly's in the cocoon, or when the flowers are just these little bulbs. God created them to bring forth life. He created the cocoon to bring forth a butterfly. Oh, be careful, Killian. Be careful. And he brought forth life out of these bulbs so that they could create beautiful flowers. Thank you. Killian, you dropped your sticker. Get your sticker. Get your sticker. All right. So today, we celebrate all that life. Killian, can you bring me the other butterfly? Oh. Can you get that butterfly? Yeah. Say thank you. Can you come over here and pray with me? Let's pray, okay? Let's sit right here. I love your outfit. Woo. All right, everyone, let's say a prayer and thank God for giving us life. Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to give us life. We know that out of death comes life through you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people shouted, amen. Amen. That's right. Thank you for coming up. Killian, it's good to see you. All right. Did everyone get their activity bag also? Yeah? All right. Well, we continue with our worship service by joining in a time of prayer. It's a prayer of illumination, asking God to prepare our hearts and minds to hear the reading of his word. Let us join together in prayer. Open our eyes and soften our hearts, O God, through the work of your Holy Spirit, that in hearing of your word, we may receive new life. Amen. I came prepared this week with water. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah in chapter 25, verses 6 to 9. Isaiah, in this particular passage, is offering praise to God for God's deliverance from oppression. Hear the reading of God's word with open hearts. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. A feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with a marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel written by John in chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. This is John's account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us listen to the word of God. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out, and they went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And he bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, lying one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Our scripture reading from the Gospel of John is an all too familiar account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Usually read on Easter Sunday, John's account has all the features of a great movie. Think about it: vivid detail, gripping suspense, and powerful human emotions. I have a feeling it would be a Hollywood director's dream to dig into the intricacies of that Easter morn with Mary and Peter and John, whom we suppose to be that beloved disciple, and for them to tell the story with strong language and dialogue and cinematic scenes. Well, it's been a while that many of us have seen a new movie, at least inside a movie theater on a large screen with popcorn on our lap and our favorite drink. Before the pandemic closed movie theaters and shut down movie production, Hollywood had taken a real interest in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Actually, they'd taken great interest in many of the stories throughout the Bible. And as many of us know, because we've watched these movies, we have seen Hollywood produce so many biblical movies telling the story of Moses and Noah and the life of Jesus, sometimes not as accurately as we would like. Television, too, has hopped on the storytelling bandwagon by filming a variety of television shows, from documentaries on the life of Jesus to series depicting life in heaven and while the devil living here on earth. During the pandemic last year, my family discovered a wonderful series provided through an app, actually on our phone, called The Chosen. This video series takes a fictional yet as close to historical account of the life of the disciples before and during their call to follow Christ. Perhaps Hollywood has discovered the yearning our society has to know God and to understand how God has meaning in our lives. The fact is that the world is groaning. People are seeking something and someone who can bring meaning to their lives. We are all people who yearn for the hope of a better tomorrow. We are done with the feelings of isolation, anxiety, and depression that have surrounded us during the pandemic. We're tired in many ways as the media outlets remind us every day of the injustices occurring throughout the world. Children being kidnapped to join militant armies, or men being separated from their families in war-torn countries around the world. The stories we read of drug smuggling of various country borders around our world. And then there are the tragic events in our own country that has led to an outpouring of frustration and grief and division among God's people. If a Savior has ever been needed in this world, it is truly now. And although we might credit Hollywood with defining who Jesus is in time, we all need to understand what Jesus means to us and how this changes our lives. And then in our own way, we need to tell our story too. We need to be able to tell our story of Jesus Christ in our own way, through our own words and lived out in our own lives. Because this allows the story of Jesus to be more familiar, intimate, and relevant to all those around us. During worship through Lent, the scripture readings and sermons have highlighted the I am statements of Jesus Christ. And in the scripture readings throughout Lent, Jesus offers several visually focused statements as to who he is for the people of God. Jesus describes himself as the light, the way, the truth, and life. He describes himself as the bread of life and the vine, the gate, the good shepherd. And today, Jesus reminds us that he is the resurrection and the life. At one point during his life on earth, Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he was. "Who do you say I am?" Jesus asked his closest companions as they ministered together. And it's a question that Jesus still asks us today. Who do you say I am? Hollywood might have the means to answer that question in a spectacular way with elaborate set designs and biblically appropriate clothing and maybe a few famous actors scattered through the cast, but Jesus is interested more in our response to his question. Who do you say I am? Like the compassionate Jesus we know, he begins his conversation with Mary by comforting her in her present need. Mary is weeping. She is incredibly sad. She is grieving. And Jesus, even though she thinks that he is the gardener, invites her to speak of her grief. And why was Mary crying? Well, Mary wept because death had done to Jesus' body what death does to each person's body, or so she thought. She knows that death renders the body vulnerable to decay, decomposition, as well as defenselessness against the whims of those who might be interested in abusing a corpse. But Mary cried because she believed death had taken away her teacher, her savior, her dear friend from her presence. And so Mary grieves the absence of Jesus' presence. And with this came a sense of failure that she could not save her friend from death. Mary Magdalene on Easter morning is an emblem of the entire human condition. We too have felt failure, just as Mary feels failure at the loss of losing a dear friend. And Mary is at once every single one of us and the whole lot of us taken together. And so it is precisely into that situation of failure that Easter must burst forth. Because the truth is that Easter does not only happen here in this sanctuary or in any other bright tulip or lily-laden church sanctuary. Easter doesn't only happen on Easter at the dinner table when we have the delicious ham and the desserts and we're surrounded by family and friends as we eat delicious food. The reality is that Easter happens in the ER when the doctor comes out to the waiting area and shakes his head and says, "We couldn't save him." Easter happens at the funeral home when the first glimpse of your loved one in the casket hits you like a brick to the heart and suddenly you can't breathe. Easter happens in the nursing home where once strong-bodied men and women watch their neighbors disappear one by one and where these wheelchair-bound precious people know that all of life has now come down to this long waiting for death. Easter happens where death is because that is the only place it is needed. Mary Magdalene knows who Jesus is to her. And at the sound of her name, she responds wholeheartedly with Rabboni, teacher. Jesus is her teacher and her beloved friend, and her tears mark the importance Jesus Christ had upon her life as she grieves his death. But it is at the sound of her name she finally sees Jesus. No longer does she mistake Jesus as the gardener. And as Jesus has reminded God's people, I know my own, and my own know me. Mary knows Jesus because Jesus knows Mary. In the sound of her name, she sees her friend, her Savior, Jesus, and she remembers she is loved. Using Mary's name brings her into an intimacy and closeness she has long held with Jesus and that she yearns for in the world that she lives in. And this is no formal connection. It's a deep connection between friends. It's a blessed reunion outside that empty tomb. In the sound of our own names, we see Jesus. And so the question today is, what does that mean to us this Easter morning? What does it mean for us to know that Jesus Christ calls each of us by name? And what does it mean to each of us that Jesus offers us salvation, life out of death? What does it mean to you and to me that Jesus prepares a place uniquely for us so that when he calls your name heavenward, you will dwell with him forever. The sure and certain knowledge that Christ claims us as his beloved seems to call out for us to respond in some manner. And I wonder, will it be wholeheartedly like Mary shouting, Rabboni, teacher, and then running to tell all the others that she has seen the Lord? Maybe it'll be in another excited manner. We like to think that our response would be obedience and devotion to the one who gave his life for us, but All too often, the world around us and the personal problems get more attention than our Savior does. So many times, rather than organizing life around the worship of Jesus Christ, we tell Jesus to find a space around our lives organized by things of this world. We choose something else each week to worship than Jesus Christ, who offers us the gift of eternal life, the gift that no other person or thing can offer to us. And so often we sadly ignore the opportunity to hear God call us by name. We miss the opportunity to tell Jesus who he is to us. But most importantly, we miss the deep connection we need from Christ that can carry us forward in this broken world. And oh, how we yearn to hear the sound of Jesus calling our name. At the sound of our name from the lips of Jesus, our worries decrease, our anxiety lessens, and we are reminded again and again that grace is not an object to be known, but a gift to be lived. There's a story I heard one time about a little girl named Mary Ann Bird. Mary Ann had it rough growing up. She was born with a cleft palate and had a disfigured face. Mary Ann also had lopsided feet, so when she walked, it kind of gave her an ungainly way of walking. And so naturally, she was the target of all the school-age cruelty that the other children could muster. Often she'd hear from a kid, "Did you cut your lip?" Or maybe one of the kids would say, "How come you walk like a duck?" You can imagine Mary Ann lived in a dark world, not filled with a lot of compliments. Well, one year, her teacher was Miss Leonard. Now, Miss Leonard was short and round. She was a little rough, but she shined with kindness. And back in those days, teachers were required to administer kind of a homespun hearing test. The teacher would call each student up to her desk and have the student cover first one ear and then the other, and the teacher would whisper something to see if the child could hear. Now, usually the teacher would say simple things like, "The sky is blue," or they might say, "You have on new shoes today." Mary Ann dreaded this test. Because, well, she was deaf in one ear. This hearing test, of course, would then be yet another chance for her to be singled out for her disabilities. On the day of the test, in Miss Leonard's room, when it came time for her turn, Mary Ann waddled and shuffled forward in front of the class. She covered up her bad ear first. And then, as Miss Leonard leaned in close, Mary Ann heard words that would change her life. Miss Leonard leaned into Mary Ann's good ear, and she whispered, "I wish you were my little girl, Mary Ann." Through those words and in the midst of her personal darkness, Mary Ann heard the voice of Jesus, the voice of love, the voice of grace. Mary Ann, Mary Ann. Mary Ann heard Jesus call her name through the voice of a middle-aged teacher. Mary Ann. And it changed her. John's account gives us an Easter that fits us. John gives us an Easter that can go back home with us when we leave here this morning. Because you see, if Easter's joy and proclamation required the blare of trumpets and the thunder of pipe organs and the shining brightness of white banners and vestments, if that type of setting were the only place where Easter could thrive, then who among us could take that back home with us? Joyous, clean, orderly, and properly Easter won't work in our frustrated, worrisome, and tiring lives that we so often experience. John gives us good news that we can live by and also live with, because somewhere in the shadows of your life and my life, a truly risen Savior is bursting with new life. And even better than this is the promise that he calls us by name: Mary, Marianne, Scott, John, Kathy, beloved. You see, the darkness of this world does not need to lift completely for the truth of Easter to be available. The truth of Easter doesn't need a talented director or producer or a famous actor to bring it into existence on the big screen. Because it's here. It's now. Jesus is here. Jesus is now. And he knows our name just as surely as he knew Mary's name and Marianne's name and burst Easter into their hearts the moment he called their names. So no matter how deep the darkness of your life may seem, listen for that voice calling your name, because he is calling to you and to me. Listen. Listen for that voice, and like Mary and little Mary Ann, be changed. Listen and be changed. And then start living Jesus' new life right now, and leave with the intent to tell those that you see this day, every day, I have seen the Lord who has called me by name. Respond with the words that describe what Jesus means to you and can mean to the ones in whom you meet. Alleluia. Amen. Please join with me by standing as we sing our next song of praise, Above All.